In your Bible, we're going to begin by turning to Luke chapter 11. But today we want to get some lessons for fathers from our Heavenly Father. Lessons for fathers from our Heavenly Father. You know, as we look at the Bible, we find a number of places that uses the comparison of an earthly father and God, the Heavenly Father. And he compares the likeness of the two. You know, if you'd ask an average young man what their image of God is, I think that you would find out that really in the back recess of their mind, their idea of God, depending on, you know, Bible knowledge, their concept of God is pretty much the same as what they see in their dad. Now, we know that that's a general deduction, not totally always true. But the Bible does compare the two. If you go to Luke chapter 11, it says in verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone?" So here's a son that is hungry, needs some food. He says, "Dad, I need some food." And the dad hands him a stone to eat. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Instead of food, give him something that will sting him and kill him. If you ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? Isn't that amazing? How much more so? There's a comparison between earthly fathers and heavenly father, the heavenly father. We find other places in the Bible that do that. Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave us reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So here we have the comparison of a heavenly Father who disciplines, who chastens his children as they get out of the path. And he uses the illustration that certainly a heavenly father would do that when an earthly father would correct his children. If an earthly father corrects his children, chastens them, disciplines them, then certainly how much more so our Heavenly Father? Psalm 103 and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, he sees their weakness, their inability. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Obviously, many other places in the Bible, God makes this comparison. There's a comparison. Heavenly fathers, earthly fathers. As we think of the Heavenly Father, and our role as fathers, we ought to be very concerned that we give our children a right image of God. We ought to be concerned that our children really do know God. Not only by our instruction, but by the clarity of our example. I find that children are very easily confused when they see a contradiction. They see a contradiction in what they are told and versus what they see. And that confusion prevents young people from coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It's really usually one of the main issues of false professions in children. False professions of faith. Is that they really don't know who God is. And as I'm thinking about this parallel here, I thought it would be good for us to be challenged today, as on Father's Day, by the Heavenly Father. First of all, we want to be challenged by God's character. We want to be challenged by God's character. So let's look at some lessons to challenge our character from God the Father. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. Very simple truth about God. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Obviously, an introduction to the book of Titus, but great truths are given in every part of the Bible. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Think of the confusion we have in our day today. When lying has become a normal part of life, especially in America. The Bible tells us, though, God cannot lie. And you think about that. How significant it is in this context. The promise of eternal life from the God who cannot lie. Boy, you kind of start putting some things together and you realize the assurance of salvation is connected with an understanding with a God who cannot lie. But a God who cannot lie. He is truthful. Do we tell the truth? Do we always tell the truth? I was challenged with that this last week. This last week, and we're in Amish country, and there's a man we buy maple syrup from, and we had I'd given him some jars, some maple syrup, empty maple syrup jars. And, you know, I really was just probably more anxious to get him out of the storage and out of the house and get the room than thinking about really what I was doing. And so I gave him these jars last summer, and when I saw him this last week, he said, you know, some of those jars weren't clean. And, you know, I wasn't really thinking about that. You know, just giving him some jars. And, but he said, I told you I'd give you credit for them, and I'm going to. And I said, no, I don't. You know, you think about how much time it took to wash them and all that. It wasn't even worth his time. I said, no, don't. He said, I am, because I said it. I said I was going to give you credit, and I'm going to give you credit. Doesn't matter if they were clean or not. And you know, I thought, wow. That's a truthful man. He's a truthful man. That's quite challenging. A God who cannot lie. A Father who tells the truth. That's creating quite a right image of God, isn't it? Versus, think of the confusion of the fact if a father is not very truthful. Now guess what? You young people think I'm talking about the fathers, but guess what? I learned something. Not too long ago in life, that you know what? I first became a father when I was 24. And you didn't have time to change, to become what you're supposed to be. That takes place now. That takes place now. And you ought to be challenged by this very important truth, because you have a very important responsibility. If you ever bring children into this world, you have a very important responsibility to portray to them the right view of God. God cannot lie. He's truthful. The Bible tells us that God is good. We read this morning in James chapter 1. And we just read it in other places. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights. Goodness comes from God. God is good. You wonder why so many people don't know that God is good. You wonder why so many people don't know God is good. But the Bible tells us that God is good. You know, this seems like such a subtle thing, but it's so important. A child growing up in a home where the dad is always good, it's not very hard for them to understand that God is good. But we live in a day in which a lot of people question the goodness of God, don't they? We have a lot of people who question the goodness of God. We have a lot of people who, when go through trials, they question the goodness of God. But the Bible tells us that God is the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. God is steady. He's steady. He isn't this, and then he's this. He isn't for truth, and now later on against truth. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff, isn't it? You know, you think about that. We live in a day of apostasy, of compromise, of throwing away the truth. You know, I wonder how much has to do with politicians that most everything, it seems, that they say is a lie. But how much has to do with the fact that we used to stand for something and then we don't. And what used to be wrong isn't wrong anymore. And what used to be right isn't right anymore. Matthew chapter 5. This is really good. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is kind, isn't he? God is always kind. He's good to the just and he's good to the unjust. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 15. In the verse, the context is verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance. Of course, children of God the Father. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of person so judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, we have a holy God. And God the Father is holy. Does that make a difference? I think it makes a big difference. I remember as a young man, one of my relatives talking about how wonderful it was that he could go wherever he went and talk to, I think at this particular case it was like a funeral or something, and talk to a preacher who was smoking a pipe and drinking a beer. He thought that was so great. You know why he thought it was so great? Because that relative smoked a pipe and drank beer. And he was so glad that he could talk to a minister that smoked a pipe, drank beer, and swore, just like he did. But the Bible tells us God's holy. And I think one of the best ways that a young person will ever get an idea that God is holy. I mean, there's other ways. But one of the easiest ways is by having a holy Father. And in their mind, they think, you know, my dad would never do that. My dad, he won't go there. My dad, he'd never participate in that. Makes God very real. Very real. God needs to be real. Actually, it's a life or death situation. I have found that there's something about us that that we could know a Bible answer, but what we have experienced is more dominant in our mind than what the Bible says. That's life. Lessons that would challenge us from the character of God the Father. Lessons to challenge us, to challenge our hearts from the love of the God of God the Father. I guess we don't have to turn there. Most of you know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The sacrificial love of God the Father. The sacrificial, predetermined, planned, thought out love of God the Father. It wasn't a spur of a moment. It was predetermined, planned out, purposeful, self-sacrificial love of God the Father. You know, That is amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? The love of God. Transforming. Certainly it is a great truth in this day in which children are having children. They may be old, but they act like children because everything in life is about them. And they don't have the character to give up everything in life for the best of their children. Their life is still hung up on them. You know, when I think of self-sacrificial love, this doesn't have to do with my dad, but it has to do with my mom. I was in high school, and, it was an evening, and my mom was sitting in the living room. She's just sitting there. And, it was after supper and dishes had been washed and, everything else was taken care of. And I went into the living room and I said, "Mom, what are you doing? You do this a lot. You know, get all the work done, you sit in the living room." And, admittedly, ours wasn't a real Christian home. I didn't know the gospel. And TV was, was there. But, she was sitting in the living room doing nothing. I says, "Mom, what are you doing in here? Why don't you turn the TV on? Why don't you watch something on TV?" And she said, "If I turn the TV on, I'd be distracting you from your homework. And it's more important to me that you do your homework than I get some kind of pleasure out of watching something out of TV." You know, that was that was quite impressionable upon my soul. If my mom will do all of that so I get, do my homework and get good grades, then I'm going to study and I'm going to do my homework and I'm going to do right. My mom makes that kind of sacrifice for me. I'm going to respond correctly. You know, isn't that really the truth about God? Don't you remember the day you got saved? You said, "Man, this is amazing. That God should love me so much that He would forgive me all my sins." Didn't you ever think about it? Well, don't you remember that? This is amazing. That God would love me so much that He would forgive me all my sins. I love this God. I want to serve this God. I want to live for this God. Well, that's the God of the Bible, isn't it? The self-sacrificial love of God the Father. It ought to be a challenge to our own hearts and our own lives as we are in this world and as we are still sinners. And there is that point in our life in which we say, "I'm just tired of giving and giving and giving." First John chapter 3, a little twist on this. First John chapter 3. At the end of your Bible, 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. The word their son is born one. And you know what? Here's the parallel. The Bible tells us that this great love of God is manifest in that he would make us his children. You know, now it's not simply talking about human children. Man was made in the image of God. No, it's talking here about his spiritual children, in which he gives us a new heart and a new life. And we belong to the family of God, that he rescues us from Adam's race and Adam's sin and makes us his own child. The love of God, that he would make us his children. There's a great truth. The love of a father for his child. Exemplified by God the Father. The love of a father in bringing a child into the world, giving him his own name. That certainly, as we think of the Father, that he would make us sinners his children. Unbelievable, the love of God. Make us his children. Birth us into his family. You know, that's what parenting is about, isn't it? Loving your children. Bringing this child into the world. Loving them. Giving them your name. We have a great lesson from God the Father. Here we find, thirdly, a lesson from God the Father to challenge our duties. In Matthew chapter 5, there's so many things we can say on each one of these categories. I'm trying to purposely skip some things. Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men. Verse 16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now we have a few lessons here in parenting. You know what? God gives his children duties. God gives his children duties. Now, we realize that nowadays most churches have changed their name. And it's called something like Suggestion Baptist Church. You know, the Bible being full of suggestions. No, the Bible's full of commands. And this is a command, not a suggestion. And what does God say? Let your light so shine before men. that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, God puts demands on His children. And of course, the whole book of Ephesians is that the whole purpose of the Christian life is that we would bring glory to God. We would bring right opinion of God before men. And here He says, let your light so shine before men. You know, if God, the Heavenly Father, puts demands upon His children, certainly earthly fathers would do the same. They expect things. They demand things. He sets demands on His children. The Bible says that Abraham was such a great father. Why? He says, because I know him. That he will command his children after him. That's what made him a great father. And God's a great father, and He expects things from us. And I thought along that line, we've mentioned some of these things. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, God chastens us. And He wasn't talking about a timeout. The Bible says, he that loveth his child chasteneth him. You know what? There ought to be some kind of penalty for sin to persuade a child to understand that it's better to do right than to do wrong. And there are consequences to doing wrong. And there is also a blessing when you do right. But if your chastening of a child is a little slap on the hand, they're a good sinner. They'll always choose to do wrong if the result, as far as you can tell them, teach them, is going to be worth it. If it's going to be worth it to sin, they're going to sin. But if it's not worth it to sin, they're not going to sin. And it's never worth it to sin before God the Father. It's never worth it. You know why? Because He's a loving God. He's a loving God. But there's also a challenge from our Heavenly Father about our relationship between us and God. God's called the Heavenly Father, but the issue is He your Father? He's called the Heavenly Father. He's good. He never changes. He's faithful. He's kind. He's merciful. He's holy. He is just. But the question is, do you know Him? You know, think about this. What about children in the world that don't have, maybe don't even know their father? What about children in the world who don't have a father that is molding them? Well, there's an answer. There's a Heavenly Father that everybody can know. And He's good. And we can know Him. And we can know Him. you can, if you know Him, knowing Him will impact your life. So the question is, have you come to know God the Father? Have you come to know Him personally? Have you been born into His family? That's the issue of the hour, isn't it? Our society would be lost. You know, you think of some of our poor bus kids. They don't have the father they have today. Every child in the home might have a different one. And he might not even be there. What chance do they have in life? You know what? They got a lot of chance because there's a wonderful, loving father that they can come to know. And you can come to know Him too. You know, I think about a great story in the Bible that talks about coming to the Father. Luke chapter 15. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent to him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Here was the son, a wayward son, a selfish son, a disobedient son, an embarrassment son. But the Bible says he came to himself. And you know, coming to himself, there was two ingredients. One, he came to himself in understanding how good his father was. He came to himself understanding that even the servants in his father's house had it good. He came to the right thinking about how good his father was. He came to the right understanding about himself, how he had despised his father, how he thought wrongly of his father. He came to himself and understood how wrong his thinking was about life and about pleasure and about sin and all that it brought, he came to himself. And he said, there's a Father that will forgive me. There's a Father that will forgive me. And he went. And he came to the Father. And the Father looked long for him, saw him coming afar off, and rejoiced to see him come. And he rejoiced and forgave his son and made a big party and said, this is great. This is great. My question to you today is, number one, do you have that day? Do you have that day? Do you have that day in your life? When you turned from your sin and came to the Heavenly Father and He received you and forgave you. In your life you entered into the joy of the Lord. Is there that day in your life? You came to know the Heavenly Father. That's an important question, isn't it? Is a day in your life that you came to know the Heavenly Father? The day that you came, tired of your sin, tired of going your own way, realizing how foolish and sinful you'd been, and you came to God the Father, and you came to Him for forgiveness, which is available because Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on our behalf on Calvary's cross. And you found the forgiveness of God. And you rejoiced to know Him and to walk with Him and to serve Him. Have you come to God the Father? Everybody on this journey of life in order to be right with God needs to come to God the Father and find the forgiveness that's available because of Jesus Christ. Now you'll come to Him because of two reasons. One, you're finally convinced that sin isn't worth it. And life without God isn't worth it. And you'll come to Him when you realize that God is good. And God is merciful. And God is ready to receive you. I wonder on this day, maybe you're a son right here. Maybe you're a child right here. You've broken your father's heart. You thought you knew better than your father. You were willful. You've gone your own way. It's only going to turn out bad. It's only going to turn out bad. And on this Father's Day, you need to come to yourself. You need to come to yourself. And you need to admit that you have made some wrong choices. You need to come to yourself and admit that you have been willful and rebellious and foolish. And you need to make a decision to come to your Father, your earthly Father, and say, Father, forgive me. I've lived in a way that's unworthy of all you've done for me. I lived in a way that brought great disgrace to your name. But I've come seeking your forgiveness. And if you have a Christian father, I'm quite convinced that they would be glad to forgive you and to see you come back and do what is right. What a great Father's Day that would be for you as a son, as a child. On the other hand, how much greater a Father's Day is if you had come to know the Heavenly Father, the greatest Father of all, and come to know Him and have Him impact your life, and for Him to be your God, and for Him to be able to bless your life as He would want to. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you're such a wonderful Heavenly Father. Lord, there's just no doubt in our mind that it is true. There's no variableness in you. Lord, we know that we can come to you at any time in repentance, and that you'll forgive us, and that you'll love us, and you'll take us. We thank you that you are a loving Father. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us as fathers, earthly fathers, would be challenged by what we ought to be, by who you are. And Lord, certainly there is some part to this, these great truths that would apply to each one of us, that we could leave this room today better fathers, because we've got a glimpse of the Heavenly Father. And we saw something that was worthy, so wonderful, and so right that we know it ought to be in our life. And so help us as earthly fathers even now to let you challenge our life. And I pray, Lord, for any precious soul that has never come to the Heavenly Father as a sinner seeking His forgiveness, has never come to Him and found that new birth, that new life that comes when we turn from our sin and accept Christ. Oh, Lord, might they find the Heavenly Father today, be born into His family by faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray for that wayward child, maybe at the beginning stages, maybe somewhere in the process, Lord, that on this Father's Day, they would come to themselves and they would turn from their own ways and come in repentance, seeking the forgiveness and love of their earthly father. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Today is a day for you, and God is speaking to your soul about what you ought to do, how you ought to respond to this message, what God wants for you. And just by an uplifted hand, say, you know, God has something for me today, and I need to let God have His way. Pastor Roberts, I'm just making this simple. Just pray for me. There's something I ought to do on this Father's Day as we think of our wonderful Heavenly Father. Anyone here today, praise the Lord for that. Others, God has spoken my heart, There's something I ought to do on this wonderful day, Father's Day. Okay? Amen. Others, praise the Lord. Maybe you're here and you need to come to Jesus Christ. Receive Him. Come to the Father and ask for salvation. The forgiveness that only can be gotten from Him because of Jesus. Pray for me. I need to come to the Heavenly Father, be born into His family. Pray for me, Pastor Roberts, anyone here. Lord, now we thank You for the great truths of Your Word. And use them, Lord, in our lives. And we pray that You would do the work in each life that needs to be done. We thank You for Your mercy and thank You for Your Holy Spirit that speaks to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.